1027 Business with Michael Avery.
Well, it was all about Nancy Pelosi's plane today. The market certainly took fright at the fact that after repeated warnings from China, U.S. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi decided to visit Taiwan, which the U.S. recognizes as a self-governed sovereign nation, and the Chinese reckons it's just an extension of China, just another province. We saw China closing the airspace above the Taiwan Strait to all civilian aircraft today, and even flight radar, which tracks flights around the world, saying that because of the increased interest in SPAR 19, which is Pelosi's call sign on her flight, that services are under extremely heavy load. Well, we saw risk assets sell off. We ended down 1.5%. Petri Redlinghuis, founder of Herenia Capital, has got your market view. Petri, just what the world needs, an escalation in tensions between the US and China.
Good afternoon. And yes, why not? I mean, if we if you started getting comfortable with the market looking like it wants to recover, we found a way to bring some volatility back. I think this is actually, I mean, sarcasm aside, I think this is potentially a bigger problem than we realize. I mean, there were some comments from Chinese generals over the weekend that basically made it emphatically clear that they will take Taiwan and no one will stop them. And we're seeing all the same things that we saw pre the Ukraine invasion from Russia. Military equipment on trains moving towards the Taiwanese Strait, you know, shoring up the borders and those types of things. So all the signs are there that the Chinese are keen to make a move on, annexing Taiwan, depending on your side of the fence, whether you believe it's, you know, it belongs to China or not. But it does seem that it's coming to a head and that there is, a fair amount of tension building. And I don't know whether or not the US's involvement is a good or bad idea at this stage.
Maybe it's an indication of how seriously the US is taking this threat, because it did largely just stand by while Russia rattled its sabers at Ukraine, and we saw what happened there. But if you zoom out and think what the impacts and the knock-ons might be through the broader economy, Ukraine, well, we've seen that. Energy markets, energy prices, you've seen electricity prices in Germany are now 10 times higher than they were over the average period in the last decade. So, I mean, that's huge impact. And obviously in grain and elsewhere, Taiwan, we're just not going to get semiconductors anymore. Well, what's the big impact going to be on global supply chains? Several red lines are going to be tested in what happens over the next few days, which is why we've seen risk assets sell off. We see oil back below 100 tonight. We see petrol prices coming down, 1.32 a litre. And it looks like, if you see what the Automobile Association said today, we could be due for another drop come September as well, all things being equal, if the oil price stays here and the rand doesn't blow out. So some of those inflationary forces starting to ease up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, at least that's one good thing. But I don't know how much of the fuel price reduction, particularly around oil, is around demand destruction rather than an easing of an actual inflation, right? I mean, what we're starting to see is, and it's actually tragic, because you look at some companies, like you look at some of the property stocks results, and you see signs of recovering economy. But then, you know, at the same time, there's all these other pressures that is actually really starting to cause a lot of trouble. You know, now obviously markets are down, or at least energy is down, on the idea that, well, if there's more conflict, that's going to be lower production, that's going to be sort of bad for the economy, plus the recession and all the various things that come along with that. So there's a fair amount of downward pressure on that, which, you know, for us is relief at the pump, but it might not necessarily play out as relief as our trading partners are under economic pressure as well as us. So I guess, yeah, it's a very complicated sort of situation at the moment. And I think that, you know, from an investment perspective, you know, if there's a message to be gotten through, I think to the broader public, it's, you know, times like these are, if you have monthly investments, or, you know, monthly contributions that you make to some sort of investment, now's a good time to double those monthly investments. The best thing that can happen to you now, if you're a long-term investor, is if this market comes down another 20% and you keep buying, all the way through the difficult time. Because in 10 years from now, none of this will matter, right?
Yeah.
So keep the long-term goal careful in mind and stick to the plan. Don't let the news and the volatility panic you out.
Yeah, don't listen to me. Listen to Petri, I think, was the take home there as he was doing previously his best impression of an economist on the one hand, but on the other with the oil price. But I completely understand what you're saying there, Petri. Sometimes the good news on the one hand is bad on the other for the broader economy. That was Petri Redling-Hayes, founder of Herenia Capital Advisors, with your view from the market here on Hot Business.
Hot 1027, Joburg's hottest breakfast show.
Everyone has something to look forward to. They do, you know, whether it's a wedding, a boil being lanced from your backside.
What are you talking about?
That's one of the nicest feelings when you've had a boil on your bum and it suddenly gets lanced.
Yes! You've had this.
I have had that, yes. This is ages ago. We don't need to go into it.
Joburg's hottest breakfast show. Weekday 6 to 9 on Hot 1027.